This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers. Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and your tushies do too. No matter what kind of butt you've got, you'll feel comfy while your baby's mushy little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around. Get your baby butt in the best-fitting diaper. Huggies Little Movers. We got you, baby.
Tonight, Israeli warplanes and tanks pushing further into Gaza as tensions escalate in the Middle East and an American warship takes down drones launched by Iran-backed rebels. What it all means? Here are tonight's headlines. Israel expands its ground assault into southern Gaza as aid groups warn civilians are running out of places to flee. Plus the new details after America strikes back in self-defense. The concern tonight about the U.S. being drawn into a wider war. America's opioid crisis. Will the Supreme Court uphold a multi-billion dollar settlement with the makers of OxyContin?
Do you blame the Sacklers for Ryan's death?
I do. I absolutely do.
Breaking news, an American tourist killed after a shark attack at a popular Bahamas resort. And a night of celebration, the Kennedy Center Honors. Good evening and thank you for being with us. We begin tonight with a dramatic escalation in Gaza as Israel and Hamas engage in some of the most intense fighting since the beginning of the war. And that fighting is taking place in southern Gaza, specifically around Khan Yunis, the city where Israel reportedly believes the remaining hostages are being held. It's been 4 days since that ceasefire ended that allowed nearly 100 women and children to be released. And tonight, the State Department says one of the reasons Hamas chose to end the truce and not release all the hostages is because the group doesn't want the women to talk about what is happening to them while in custody. Hundreds of protesters rallied today outside the United Nations, accusing its leadership of failing women. The UN did hold a special session to raise awareness about the use of sexual violence against women by Hamas. As fighting intensifies, the U.S. is urging Israel to create and obey no-strike zones so the nearly 2 million displaced Gazans have a place to go. CBS's Charlie Daggett is covering it all for us from Tel Aviv. Good evening, Charlie. So what about that message of safe zones? Is that getting to those in Gaza?
Good evening, Nora. Well, that is the central question. There's been a near complete internet blackout across Gaza. It means as Israel widens its offensive, residents there are unable to receive instructions warning them to evacuate further south. Now, we need to warn our viewers again tonight. Our report contains images some might find disturbing. Residents ran in terror as Israeli airstrikes bombarded southern Gaza. the very region they had fled to for their safety under order of Israeli forces. But Israel has now turned its firepower on the city of Khan Yunis, the home of Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar, where smoke from explosions and the crisscross of rocket fire filled the skies. 2-month-old Adnan fights for his life in one of the city's hospitals following an airstrike. "We came here to the south just like they told us," his father says, "and this is what we found. What can we do?" Young Dalal told CBS News today how her family was forced to flee from Gaza City south to Rafah, where they now live in a makeshift shelter by the road. The Israel Defense Forces have now issued this interactive map outlining evacuation zones, which residents can access via a QR code. Not much use in neighborhoods struggling for electricity, let alone an internet connection. Somewhere in the midst of this raging battle lies the fate of at least 130 remaining hostages. Still unaccounted for, 8 Americans, like 19-year-old U.S.-Israeli citizen Itai Chen, whose parents are counting each day.
"We do not have proof of life, even after 59 days.
His father, Ruby, told us his son, an IDF soldier serving in a tank unit, was among those taken captive on the morning of October 7th. He carries an hourglass to serve as a reminder that time is running out.
"What's the first thought that goes through your mind in the morning?"
"You wake up and you get that slap in the face. You spend 18, 20 hours a day to find a way to get a chance to see my son and hug him again."
They're both now worried the renewed fighting might imperil the safety of their son.
"You know, I'm just a mom that wants her son back home where he belongs."
And they were both deeply critical of the Red Cross for not pushing Hamas harder for access to the hostages, including their son, just to see if he's okay or even alive. Now, the president of the Red Cross visited Gaza today and called for the release of all hostages. Nora?
We're thinking of those families. Charlie Jagoda, thank you. The escalating violence in Gaza is raising tensions across the entire region today. Today, the White House pointed the finger directly at Iran after an American warship was forced to shoot down multiple drones that were targeting various commercial ships in the Red Sea. CBS's David Martin is at the Pentagon with new details.
The Iranian-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen had already hijacked one commercial vessel in the Red Sea, and now they have attacked three more, hitting them with anti-ship missiles. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
"And attacks on commercial shipping in international waters are totally unacceptable and have to stop."
The Houthis had vowed publicly to attack Israeli shipping, but none of the vessels hit on Sunday had a current Israeli connection.
"It goes to show you the level of recklessness that the Houthis are operating on."
Sullivan blamed Iran as much as the Houthis.
"We are talking about the Houthis here. They're the ones with their finger on the trigger. But that gun, the weapons here, are being supplied by Iran."
Three Houthi drones flew toward an American destroyer in the Red Sea, which had answered the distress calls from the ships under attack. The USS Kearney shot the drones down, even though it was not the intended target.
"If left unchecked, this could get more serious and more prevalent."
Retired Admiral Jamie Fogo says, "With one carrier task force in the Mediterranean and another in the Persian Gulf, the U.S. has more than enough firepower with which to retaliate."
"Taking out the missile prior to hitting the target and taking out the launcher, we're perfectly capable of doing that."
A U.S. official tells CBS News the Pentagon is considering striking targets in Yemen, but warns that would only give the Houthis exactly what they want, which is to provoke a wider Middle East war. There was one retaliatory strike in the region this weekend when a U.S. drone killed 5 Iraqi militants as they were preparing to attack American troops. Nora?
David Martin, with all that new context and reporting at the Pentagon, thank you. Well, now to one of America's former top diplomats who is now under arrest and accused of betraying his country. As CBS's Manuel Bohorquez reports, the former U.S. ambassador is charged with spying on the United States for nearly four decades.
This action exposes one of the highest-reaching and longest-lasting infiltrations of the U.S. government by a foreign agent.
Attorney General Merrick Garland vowed the full force of the Justice Department against 73-year-old Victor Manuel Rocha, a former ambassador to Bolivia and career diplomat. Federal prosecutors say after receiving a tip, an undercover FBI agent posed as a Cuban foreign agent and contacted Rocha on WhatsApp. They allegedly met three times in this busy Miami neighborhood. The criminal complaint includes images from video of their conversations in Spanish. It says Rocha claimed his involvement with Cuban intelligence went back almost 40 years, that he boasted, "What we have done, it's enormous, more than a grand slam," referred to the United States as the enemy, and said his number one priority was protecting the Castro regime.
He would have had the ability to gain access to information that could cause great harm to the United States.
John Carlin is a former top national security prosecutor.
So he had the ability to gain and then share information that would thwart U.S. agencies' ability to collect intelligence on Cuba on the one hand, but on the other hand, he also was one of the key officials charged with forming our policy positions on Cuba.
Rocha appeared in federal court today, but he has not yet entered a plea, and prosecutors have not revealed what kind of information they believe he may have shared. But they noted he was a top diplomat in Havana in 1996 when Cuba shot down two unarmed planes belonging to a U.S.-based anti-Castro group, killing four men. Nora?
Manny Horkas, thank you so much. Well, we want to turn now to a deadly shark attack this morning near a popular tourist resort in the Bahamas. The victim is a woman from Boston. We get the tragic details now from CBS's Elaine Quijano.
Shortly after 11:15 this morning, police in the Bahamas responded to reports of a shark attack near the Sandals Beach Resort on Nassau.
According to our initial reports, the female, along with a male relative, were paddle boarding just at the rear of a resort in Western New Providence, some three-quarter miles out from the shoreline.
Police say a lifeguard on duty rushed out to help the victim, a 44-year-old woman from Boston. She was brought back to shore in a rescue boat where emergency medical personnel tried to resuscitate her.
CPR was administered to the victim. However, she suffered serious injuries to the right side of her body. They thoroughly assessed the victim, and they declared that she showed no vital signs of life.
While fatal shark attacks are rare, just 2 weeks ago, a German woman went missing off Grand Bahama's West End after encountering a shark. Elaine Quijano, CBS News.
Tonight, more than 10 million people across the Pacific Northwest are bracing for another round of heavy rains, flooding, and snow. Nearly 2 feet of snow fell in parts of Washington state over the weekend, 4 feet in Utah and Colorado. Flood watches are in effect tonight in western Washington and Oregon. Several atmospheric rivers are expected to drench the region this week with as much as a foot of rain. Back here in Washington, the fate of a multi-billion dollar settlement for victims of the opioid epidemic hangs in the balance. The Supreme Court heard arguments this morning over whether the Sackler family, the former owners of Purdue Pharma, should get immunity from future lawsuits. CBS's Jan Crawford reports on a case that some are calling billionaire justice.
We want justice. We want the Sacklers in jail, but we want their money.
Cheryl Juer lost two sons to opioids and holds Purdue Pharma, the manufacturer of OxyContin, and its former owners, the Sackler family, responsible. She and most other victims' families are urging the Supreme Court to approve a 2021 multi-billion dollar bankruptcy plan that will provide up to $6 billion for treatment and programs to combat the opioid crisis, including $750 million to victims and their families.
And I do believe that was the best deal.
But that deal has a catch. It would shield the Sackler family from lawsuits, even though they are not bankrupt themselves. And that has divided families who share a tragic bond.
They need to be held accountable.
Ellen Isaacs, whose son died of an overdose, says the deal lets the Sacklers off the hook.
Give me the ability to get a jury by trial of my peers. Closing that door, it's not going to help anybody with healing.
Isaacs, along with the Justice Department, is urging the Supreme Court to reject the plan. And in arguments today, the justices struggled. Some were concerned rejecting the deal would leave many families with nothing.
The opioid victims and their families overwhelmingly approve this plan because they think it will ensure prompt payment.
But other justices pointed out the Sacklers also would benefit and only agree to the plan because it protects them from lawsuits.
The Sacklers have taken the money and are not willing to give it back unless they have this condition.
Now, the outcome of this case could also have huge implications for how corporations use bankruptcy to try to protect owners from lawsuits. And that's why you're seeing other organizations like the Boy Scouts and the Catholic Church filing papers in support of this agreement. A decision is expected by June. Nora?
Such an important case. Jan Crawford, thank you. Well, now to a CBS News investigation into a grassroots effort to purge voter rolls ahead of the 2024 election. An army of conservative activists who falsely believe the 2020 election was stolen are now challenging the eligibility of tens of thousands of voters. CBS's Major Garrett takes a closer look in the battleground state of Georgia.
I paid taxes here for 20 years, even though I was homeless.
James McWhorter is a master barber in suburban Atlanta and a Gulf War veteran. McWhorter registered to vote at the barbershop address because he was, for a time, homeless. In October, at a public hearing, he defended his right to vote.
For you to be able to challenge me, you have that right as a citizen of DeKalb County. But I serve to give you that right.
McWhorter is talking to Gail Lee. Lee believes former President Trump won the 2020 election and spends hours scouring DeKalb County voter rolls. She found that McWhorter's registration was linked to this barbershop, not a residential address, and therefore invalid.
I am requesting that these challenges brought before you today.
Lee says she's filed about 500 challenges and is one of many citizen sleuths in Georgia and other states convinced the rolls are riddled with fraud.
Which is just not, it's not true.
We found more than 80,000 challenges to voter registration in Georgia since 2021. The process is legal. One citizen can challenge an unlimited number of registrations. DeKalb County Election Board Chair Carly Swift told us the challenges tend to uncover administrative and technical errors that shouldn't deprive Georgians of their right to vote. Swift and her colleagues have spent hundreds of hours hearing voter challenges, a pattern, Swift said, has emerged.
And it's young voters, it's people of color, and it's people that are unhoused.
Have you in your mind come up with an explanation of what the motive is?
To disenfranchise a certain demographic. You're trying to put your foot on someone else's neck.
I mean, all he had to do was call up the office and give him his address. It's not exactly a heavy foot.
McWhorter has a residence now, and after the hearing, updated his voter registration. Gail Lee said his case is proof the system of citizen challenges works.
Can you understand how people who are African American might feel this deeply in that your work feels threatening to them?
I would think they would want their vote protected too.
Sometimes it's not if you could, if you should.
So what might all this mean for 2024? Consider this. Joe Biden won Georgia in 2020 by just under 12,000 votes. Our investigation found at least 12,000 of these challenges have led to names being removed from voter rolls. But Nora, election officials tell us most of the cases involve technical and administrative errors and are not evidence or even suggestions of widespread fraud.
We should keep up this reporting. It's really interesting. Major Garrett, thank you so much. Well, there is a desperate search for survivors after a deadly volcano eruption. We've got those details next.
Every day, our world gets a little more connected, but a little further apart. But then, there are moments that remind us to be more human.
Thank you for calling Amica Insurance.
Hey, I was just in an accident.
Don't worry, we'll get you taken care of.
At Amica, we understand that looking out for each other isn't new or groundbreaking. It's human. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
A volcano on the Indonesian island of Sumatra erupted again today, delaying the search for 12 climbers who were stranded over the weekend. The bodies of 11 others were recovered before the volcano started blasting hot ash nearly half a mile into the sky. About 75 people were climbing the more than 9,000-foot volcano when it first erupted. Some who have been rescued are being treated for burns and fractures. A rare Babe Ruth baseball card fetches a home run price on the auction block. That's coming up. A more than century-old piece of cardboard is now the most expensive Babe Ruth memorabilia ever sold. The former Home Run Kings rookie card from 1914, one of only 10 still in existence, was auctioned off overnight to an unidentified buyer for $7.2 million. The card showing Ruth as a 19-year-old pitcher is eclipsed by the $12.6 million that a Mickey Mantle card sold for last year. The Kennedy Center honors celebrate some of the biggest names in arts and entertainment. That's next.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Finally tonight, one of the most exciting weekends here in Washington, the Kennedy Center Honors, a night filled with speeches and performances recognizing artists' contributions to our society.
A night studded with stars, honoring the five shining brightest. From comedian Billy Crystal, who for years has made us laugh.
When we remember our favorite things, there isn't a doubt that Billy, it had to be you.
And singer Dionne Warwick, who always has us dancing.
Forever, forever, you stay in my heart.
Say a little prayer, walk on by, anyone who had a heart. Your voice was the soundtrack of our lives.
To the supreme talent of opera star Renee Fleming.
Shining from the sky.
And the Bee Gees singer and songwriter Barry Gibb. And of course, American royalty, Queen Latifah.
To Queen Latifah and to command.
The culture, myself, we thank you. We thank you so much.
You brought the sunshine in my life.
A celebration of talent and the arts.
And the Kennedy Center Honors airs here on CBS on December 27th. That's tonight's CBS Evening News. I'm Nora O'Donnell. Good night.
The Hargan women seem to have it all.
From the outside looking in, we were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But as detectives would soon learn, there was a lot going on inside the Hargan household.
Ashley and I have been calling my mom and the house and Helen. Okay. No one's answering.
63-year-old Pamela Hargan gunned down in her own home. Her youngest daughter, Helen, lay dead upstairs.
Patrol, when they arrived, assumed or thought that there might have been a murder-suicide.
But for the detectives on the scene...
There were things about the scene itself that were concerning to us on day one.
Who would want to kill their mother and their little sister?
There is no boogeyman here. It is exactly who we think it is.
I'm Peter Van Sant from 48 Hours. This is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings early and ad-free on the 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
If you enjoy tuning in to the CBS Evening News, there are official t-shirts, hats, mugs, and more available for purchase at ParamountShop.com. These products are perfect for any fan of evening news, and you can take 20% off with code EVENING20. That's 20% off all CBS Evening News products with code EVENING20 at ParamountShop.com.